A day after London Health Sciences Centre fired its CEO, questions remain. LHSC announced Paul Wood's departure after it was revealed he made 5 trips to visit family in the U.S. since March. The most recent trip happened over Christmas. The hospital network issued 2 statements about this, one on Friday and one announcing the firing yesterday. But due to the wording of these statements, it's still not clear exactly when the board of directors was informed about Wood's travel. CBC reporter Andrew Lupton has a story on our website this morning. It takes a close look at those statements and what they don't tell us. You can read that at cbc.ca/London. Now, my next guest has also taken a very close look at the statements. Richard LeBlanc is a professor in ethics, law, and corporate governance at York University. He joins me now on the line. Good morning.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm doing well. I know you've taken a look at the statements. What has been your reaction to what this has unfolded, the way it's unfolded?
Well, there's a difference between the statement on Friday. The statement on Friday was the board of directors is aware that Dr. Wood continues to travel for personal reasons. So it's in the present tense. And then the statement on Monday is that the board had no advance notice and did not approve the travel outside Canada. I suspect, and I'm speculating, but based on similar experiences that I've counseled boards, is that what has happened between Friday and Monday is directors began to weigh in, and there likely was a series of discussions or emails or maybe even an emergency board meeting over the weekend where it became apparent that the CEO had lost confidence of the board, and a decision was made yesterday morning to terminate Dr. Woods.
Would the messaging have changed in part because of all of the challenging, mounting pressure from the public and from healthcare workers?
Yeah, that was a significant part of it. And as I understand, there was a petition going around, and it's not just the travel; it's the diminishment. It's the leadership and leading by example, and it's also what it says for the board of directors. Part of the statement yesterday was none of the elected directors have traveled outside Canada since the onset of the pandemic. So if you're on the board of LHSC and you continue to employ your CEO who has breached travel guidelines for non-essential travel, then it says something about your reputation as well. So in these discussions that may have been had, it's likely that the board and a significant number of directors said, listen, this is just untenable. There's the grave disappointment to frontline workers, and the analogy has been a battlefield. You know, these people are working 18, 19, 20-hour days. So the disappointment to stakeholders, to various unionized groups, began mounting, and it became apparent to all directors that, or not all, but it might have even been a vote, that the CEO, simply, it's an untenable situation.
Right, because at the beginning of this, they said they still supported his leadership, and by Monday, they did not. So something happened in those hours.
Yeah, and it's likely that there was there tends to be 2 responses. There tends to be the quick response, which is this person enjoys the support of the board. We had this, for example, with a police chief. And then a mayor came out very quickly and said, listen, he enjoys my support, etc. And then a few days later, the chair of this particular board resigned. So there tends to be 2 reactions. So my counsel to boards is, listen, come out, have an emergency meeting, hear from all directors on the appropriate course of action, and then, and only then, and when you do come out with full information, full, true, and plain disclosure. Don't have a false start. And also, when there's conduct of the CEO involved, the chair of the board, and I'm even seeing chairs now that are getting media training. I mean, the CEO speaks on behalf of the company, but if it's a question of judgment of the CEO, then there should be a role for the chair to respond to questions and respond to criticisms in a forthright way.
And I'm sure you know we have had incredible difficulty getting anyone from LHSC and the board to comment on this story to us. And I'm curious, is that usual? I mean, you just mentioned there are media trainings in part for folks who are at the head of hospitals. So, I mean, should we have expected here in London to hear from them?
Yes, because as I said, 99 times out of 100, it's the CEO who speaks on behalf of the organization or a designated communications officer, for example. But when it's the conduct of the CEO, which does happen, right, then it falls to the chair. So the media training and the expectation, what you don't want is a couple of press releases. Right,
which is what we have.
Right, you want, and there's legitimate criticism, right? Like there's another CEO of a hospital where the media said, "Listen, is this just cause or not?" And as it turns out, it was not just cause, and the payout increased significantly. I think it was over $1 million.
Yeah, so, and just remind us, just cause means if they have a reason to fire someone, they don't have to pay them out, but if they don't, then they do, right?
That is exactly correct. But just cause is a very high bar if it's not defined in the employment contract. So one of the lessons here is really define just cause. Don't leave it to the common law, because common law, it's willful dishonesty, it's intent. What you want to do is have an ironclad contract with an incoming CEO that if you do any of the following things, this rises to just cause. And that when you do that, it tends to keep the CEO front and narrow.
And by the way, the LHSC has not told us whether or not this termination is for cause or not.
That is correct.
What would you expect it is?
I would expect that it's based on how it's drafted normally, that it does not rise to the level of just cause, and therefore the payout will have to occur.
And what would a payout look like?
The former payout for a similar CEO was over $1 million. So the payout could be significant.
And the board of directors, the fact that they are unwilling to speak to us, particularly the board chair, I mean, what would your advice be to them at this point? Because there are a lot of people who are now saying that there are calls for their resignation as well.
Well, that is what happened with the other chair that I mentioned, is that other chair resigned. So you're on deck, front and center, and take a deep breath, but part of your job is to face the media in a full, true, and plain way. So it's okay, but it's not okay not to respond, because this will not go away. And part of your job as a board chair, and I also train board chairs, is if there's a reputational risk, you're now on deck and responding to the media, and it's a lot of pressure. And what people might do is to freeze up and to ignore and to entrench and to be defensive. And there's a difference too, Rebecca, when you're getting taxpayer money. If you're a Crown Corporation, Ontario Hospital, especially Ontario Hospital in a pandemic, this is about leadership. It's about personal accountability. So it is okay, but take a deep breath and come out and respond.
So your advice,
respond by email.
Your advice to board chair Amy Walby, who at this point has not responded to our request, would be what? It's not too late still to speak.
Exactly. And the response doesn't have to be, you know, in front of a microphone with 10 or 15 questions. It could be a simple response by email and some sort of interaction, I think, is a good thing.
Okay. Richard LeBlanc, thank you for this. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Rebecca.
Richard LeBlanc is a professor on governance, law, and ethics at York University. He teaches, advises, and writes about corporate governance. And for more on this story, as we've said, go to cbc.ca/London, or you can download the CBC News app and set London as your region.